Scripture reading, which is Psalm 47, and recalling again, as an overview, what this psalm is about. Psalm 47 is a psalm which communicates the excitement, the jubilation of an enthronement. And the king taking his throne is God himself. It has been understood by many Old Testament scholars that Psalm 47, along with Psalms 93 and 95 to 99, arose out of an annual festival which dramatized God's power over his foes and his kingship over creation. And this is certainly the driving point of this particular psalm. And it is a truth about God meant to comfort his people and put fear in his enemies. In verses 5 through 7, we come to the heart of Psalm 47, with verse 5 seated as the hinge to the psalm as a whole. Verse 5 reads, God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. The imagery of the Lord used in these words is depicting God as a triumphant, conquering king who has ascended his throne. But the Lord's enthronement, as we read in verse 6, is surrounded with the praise of his people. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. More literally, it reads, make music to God. Make music to God. But here's a question. What is the point of such overt celebration? Well, verse 7 answers. For God, or because God, is the King of all the earth. It is who God is, it is what God is like, that should ignite in God's people exuberant, energetic praise. The more we know the truth of who God is, the more our hearts should be enlarged with praise to God. Let me say the same thing a different way. If our theology, our knowledge of God is true to what God has revealed in his word, then that knowledge should grab us if it is to infect our worship with joy. In other words, the truth we confess about God should be a lively conviction, not an ossified creed. Now, what do I mean by that adjective, ossified? A rigid, lifeless creed. Now, this is obviously a really important thing for me to say because of the creed we're about to publicly recite and confess. When we confess, as we do in this church, as we do every Lord's Day in our worship, as we confess the Nicene Creed, it should not be just something we do in rote, you know, just, you know, blah, 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 blah. And there is no feeling, there is no passion, there is no conviction. No. The truth we're confessing about the eternal God in that creed, which is the truth of Scripture, should be confessed from hearts that are captured with a holy joy, with a holy fire concerning the truth of who God is and what God is like. And this is really, really important for those of us who are Christians in Reformed churches. Because you see, the Achilles heel of Reformed theology is cold intellectualism. That is our Achilles heel. And we have got to guard against that at all costs. We've got to guard against it. We have got to take what the Lord is giving us, illuminating our understanding with from His Word, and pray that it does grab us, that it takes hold of us, that it captivates us and captures us, that our affections are enlarged, enlivened, that we would want to shout to God and express exuberantly His praises. And beloved, shame on any of us who have all this right theology, okay? In other words, who have sound orthodoxy, all right? Orthodoxy meaning straight, correct. Okay, so you've got all this correct, right, true theology. Shame on any of us if that right, true, sound theology is not changing your life. If it's not making a real, true, honest difference in who you are because of the God you're confessing and you say you believe. Because you see, this is clearly what was happening here with the sons of Korah, who are the human authors of Psalm 47. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. And so what's their response? Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. Why? Because God is the King of all the earth. And notice the emphasis there. He's not the God of just Israel. He's not just Israel's God. No, He's the God of all the earth. There is no other God but the Lord. And is this not what the Lord says about Himself? Just read Isaiah 40 if you want a good example of that. And how many times in Isaiah 40 the Lord says, there is none like me. Who are you going to compare me to? Who? He is the King of all the earth. This is who He is among an innumerable host of other attributes and dynamics to His nature, His character, of who He is, our great eternal God, and there is none greater. And what should that do to our hearts? What should that really do to our hearts? If as a Christian, you find yourself more exuberant to praise a sports team than you do to praise the Lord, then what is that saying about your heart? Clearly, you prize the sports team more than you prize God. Because, beloved, you're going to praise what you prize the most. it always goes back to the heart. And where is your heart? Christianity is a heart religion. It's a heart religion because God changes our hearts. He gives us new hearts in salvation, in regeneration. And out of that flows praise, worship to our great eternal God. Let's pray. Our most gracious, eternal, holy, and righteous Father, in the light of what we have just considered from Psalm 47, we ask, blessed Father, your forgiveness by the blood and righteousness of your eternal Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord, for every time we have given more praise, more adulation to someone or something more than you. Forgive us, Holy Father, for our idolatry. And forgive us, Lord, for how we have so many times, how we have not let the truth and the glory of who you are and what you're like as our great eternal God, how we've not let it really affect us. How we've not let it, Lord, really grab our hearts at the depth and the core of who and what we are as your people. How we have yielded so much to the weakness of the flesh to be carried away by that weakness and the sins which come forth from our flesh. Father, we pray that you would work by the indwelling Spirit and through the mediation and merits of Christ Jesus our Lord, we petition you for a real work of renewing, reviving, of repentance, repenting of our idolatry, repenting of cold intellectualism, Lord, repenting of cold, dull, sluggish hearts when it comes to the worship of our great eternal God. Father, we pray that the grace that was poured out on the sons of Korah who penned Psalm 47 by the inspiration of the Spirit, exhorting the people of God to sing praises to you, we pray that that holy, exuberant joy would capture our hearts, enlarging our hearts and fixing our hearts, Lord, upon you in your infinite, boundless, measureless greatness, on the splendor of your majestic glory, and Lord, we pray, work in us the grace to take the knowledge that we do have of you, the right knowledge, the knowledge that comes from your word concerning the revelation you have given us by your word. Father, we pray that the knowledge of the truth of who you are, that we have, that you have entrusted to us, you've blessed us with. Lord, let us not treat it as a book on a shelf that we never read. But we pray that it will change who we are, that it will increase our sanctification and a greater pursuit that we would have and engage a pursuit of you, Lord. We ask these things for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in his name we pray. Amen.